the Rogue Ghost, Episode 11. In the dimming light of dusk, the ambush lay in wait, a sinister presence lurking within the veil of shadows, a silent threat weaving its way through the unsuspecting crowd. I could feel the menace, the ominous approach of figures shrouded in anonymity, their intentions as malevolent as the night creeping upon us. It was a moment teetering on the edge of time, a breath held in suspense, the very cusp of imminent conflict. With a swift motion, I signaled to Runeweaver, and we pressed ourselves against the ancient stone wall of the church. Our breaths shallow, hearts pounding in unison. The footsteps grew nearer, a symphony of danger that crescendoed with each passing second. Welcome to another chapter in our ongoing saga where the realms of the known and the ethereal converge, beckoning us deeper into their embrace. I, the Rogue Ghost, stand as your guide through the veiled mysteries that time itself dares not reveal. Along with my companion in the mystical, Runeweaver, we tread the intricate ballet of fate, our footsteps resonating through the annals of history in pursuit of 12 cryptic puzzle boxes. These are not mere trinkets but keys to unlocking the enigma of Santa Claus's last Christmas door. Together, let us delve into the heart of the latest conundrum presented by our mystifying Christmas card, peeling back the layers of secrets it holds within.
All right, folks, gather around because I've got the latest scoop on our thrill-a-minute escapade that's been zigzagging from the enchanting alleys of Paris back to our secret tech sanctuary. Strap in, because this journey's been a roller coaster ride of intrigue, peppered with a little sorcery and a healthy dose of peril. Let's hit the rewind button for a second. Our odyssey for the elusive puzzle boxes took a detour into the supernatural at Café Columba, leaving us with our second cryptic artifact. Picture this, we're back at our watermill base, staring down the barrel of our second puzzle box, a stubborn beast that's as tight-lipped as a sealed vault. This box, each side adorned with mixed-up images of two turtle doves, was as enigmatic as a sphinx, refusing to spill its secrets despite our best efforts to line up its sides in the perfect sequence. It was like trying to solve a Rubik's Cube in the dark. But, not to worry, we've got the box in our clutches, and that's half the battle won. The other half? Well, that involves untangling the third riddle wrapped up in Santa's cryptic Christmas card.
In the shadowed embrace of our watermill hideaway, we stood poised on the cusp of yet another challenge. The latest riddle from Santa's Christmas card unfolded before us, its words a labyrinthine web of mystery and allure. It said, "In the city where French charm proudly stands, begin the quest for the third box where three hens dance, within a realm of regal and historic expanse." This cryptic invitation beckoned us with the promise of discovery, a beacon through the fog of our ever-deepening search for the mysterious puzzle boxes. The mantle of deciphering this new conundrum rested firmly on Runeweaver's shoulders, whose prowess in navigating the labyrinth of the digital world was unparalleled. Her unique blend of analytical insight and digital dexterity made her an invaluable ally. She embarked on the task of uncovering the secrets within this latest mystery. Her eyes, alight with the fire of curiosity, danced over the screens that surrounded us, a testament to her dedication and our shared determination to pierce the veil of secrets the puzzle boxes held. As we delved into the core of this riddle, a sense of eager anticipation enveloped us, a silent acknowledgement that each puzzle deciphered was a step closer to the ultimate revelation. With Runeweaver at the helm of our digital expedition, we ventured into the unknown, guided by the starlight of our resolve and the shadows of the past that whispered secrets meant only for the daring.
Let me give you the lowdown on how we cracked the latest Christmas card puzzle. This time, we were teased with a tantalizing hint. In the city where French charm proudly stands. Immediate thoughts leap to the land of croissants and berets, but hold your horses, this riddle's playing hard to get, and retracing steps to France seemed like low-hanging fruit in a garden of complex mysteries. So, there I was, not just throwing darts at a map of France, hoping for a bullseye, but expanding our horizon. I rifled through cities drenched in French allure yet scattered across the globe. And then, like a lightbulb moment powered by sheer lateral genius, I murmured, "Montreal." And would you believe it? The lantern on our Christmas card bursts into a frenzy of light, flickering with the enthusiasm of a cheerleader at the final touchdown. And there it was, Montreal, magically etching itself inside the card. Just like that, we had our X marks the spot, the starting gun of our next wild chase. However, the intrigue deepens with the next part. Where three hens dance. Hens? Now, that's a curveball. Yet, in the grand tapestry of symbols and metaphors, each thread holds meaning. It was time to don my tech wizard hat and dive headlong into the digital abyss, navigating through the web with the finesse of a digital Sherlock. My arsenal? Every cyber sleuthing tool at my disposal, from keyword combinations to mining the depths of historical archives and the shadowy corners of niche forums. The eureka moment shimmered through the cyber fog in the form of a quaint blog post about Mount Royal Park in Montreal. Among tales of lush landscapes and whispers of the past, I uncovered a gem, a narrative about a secluded glade, home to the statuesque Henry sisters, Marie, Claire, and Sophie. With brass keys in hand, they stood as a symbol of unity and endurance, their French roots intertwining with Montreal's soil since the 1930s, the metaphorical three hens dancing in harmony against a backdrop of historical grandeur. The Henry sisters' statue, amidst the verdant embrace of Mount Royal Park, with its deep-seated connections to Montreal's French heritage, was the puzzle piece that clicked. The Christmas card's lantern, our steadfast guide, shimmered with a glow of affirmation at the unveiling of the sisters' tale. It was a silent yet resounding nod to our detective work. Locked on our radar now, the Henry sisters' statue was not just a point of interest, it was a beacon, guiding us to the next leg of our magical mystery.
In the wake of our latest breakthrough, the air within the watermill seemed charged with a new energy, in anticipation of what was to come. Yet, the comfort and safety of our haven had become a matter of increasing concern. The carved eye symbols, silent sentinels on the trees surrounding our refuge, served as a constant reminder that the Cerberus Syndicate's gaze might at any moment fall upon us. The necessity of discretion weighed heavily upon us as we considered making the upper rooms habitable. Our sanctuary needed to evolve, to become a place of comfort and strategy, yet remain invisible to those who sought to pierce its secrets. Resolved to fortify our hideaway without alerting the syndicate, I ventured once more into the mystical heart of London, seeking out the sanctum of my esteemed magic dealer. Hidden away from the unseeing eyes of the mundane world, his shop was a treasure trove of arcane wonders and ancient relics, each whispering secrets of the ages. It was there, among relics of power and whispers of ancient magic, that I found what we needed. A single magic shot, a precious commodity in our dwindling reserve, was exchanged for a vial of mystical ink. This was no ordinary pigment, it was a distillation of perception magic, a liquid embodiment of concealment and illusion. This ink was to be our ward, an enchanted veil to mask the watermill's transformation from those who sought to reveal our location. With the ink securely in my possession, I returned to the watermill, where the task of transforming our living space awaited. The upper rooms, long neglected, were to become a testament to our resilience, a space where strategy and rest could intertwine. Yet, the magic that would shield our efforts from the syndicate needed an extra, more personal ingredient, a bond forged in trust and unity.
Buckle up, because RG just turned our humble home improvement plan into an episode straight out of Witchcraft and Wizardry, the home edition. Picture this, RG struts in from London, holding onto this vial of ink like he's just snagged the last golden ticket to Willy Wonka's factory. My curiosity's piqued, right? Because honestly, anything that promises to spruce up the eternal night aesthetic of our watermill basement has got my vote. But here's where the plot thickens, taking a sharp left into horror movie territory. RG unveils his grand plan. And folks, it's not for the faint of heart, we're about to get bloodier than a season finale in Supernatural. Mixing our blood with the ink, he says, all casual like we're discussing the weather. My reaction? A mix of intrigue and a hefty dose of "Are you for real?" This wasn't just any old renovation hack, it was a full-on magical ritual, complete with bloodletting. And not just any bloodletting, but the palm of the hand variety. Because, you know, who needs to use their hands without wincing for the next week? Despite my protests about practicality, seriously, why the palm? Tradition apparently calls the shots in the magical rulebook. So, there we were, slicing our palms open, because apparently, that's the magical sweet spot, to drip our blood into this vial of ink. I've got to say, it was more than a little creepy watching the blood swirl into the ink, transforming it into a darker, pulsating hue. And then, RG takes this spooky ink and starts going Picasso on every single wall in the watermill. He's painting these intricate closed-eye symbols he calls Eyes of Perception. Fancy name, right? According to him, these symbols would cloak any signs of life or renovation from anyone who wasn't us. The ink's magic kicked in the moment it dried, the symbols doing a vanishing act right before our eyes. Invisible, yet omnipresent, like a secret only we were in on. The true magic moment? When a passerby, cute pooch in tow, glanced over at our watermill and saw nothing amiss, completely oblivious to our renovation rave and the smoke signals we were unintentionally sending up the chimney. I even tested the waters, or should I say windows, with a not-so-subtle knock, but nada. We were ghosts in our own home, hidden behind RG's magical murals. So, here we are, holed up in our magically shielded fortress, complete with its very own secret Shadowgate entrance, feeling like we've just leveled up in the game of hide-and-seek. This isn't just a safe house, it's our personal slice of enchanted real estate, tucked away from the prying eyes of the syndicate and their pesky underlings. Yet, as I stretch my palm, feeling the sting of our magical initiation, I can't help but muse on the quirks of magical tradition. Next time? I'm campaigning for a less hands-on approach. Literally.
Our preparations were meticulous, each step forward carefully considered, as we sought to arm ourselves with knowledge, the most potent weapon in our arsenal. It was in the midst of this careful strategizing that Runeweaver, with her unparalleled skill in navigating the digital realm, stumbled upon revelations that sent ripples of unease through the very core of our quest. Her digital forays, once a beacon of light in the shadowy depths of our journey, now unveiled a tapestry of concern that clouded our path forward.
So, there I was, gearing up for another cyber expedition into the murky depths of the Odyssey Seekers website. This place, let me tell you, is like the Bermuda Triangle of the internet, full of mysteries and Cerberus Syndicate secrets masquerading as your average Joe's travel blog. But what I found, or rather, didn't find, turned our whole Nancy Drew episode on its head. I just couldn't log back in. I tried every trick in my digital trick or treat bag to sneak back in. Private browsing, hopping IP addresses like a cyber kangaroo, even whispering sweet nothings to my keyboard in hopes of a miracle. But nada. Panic's icy grip had me for a hot second, sending my brain into overdrive. Was Lucy Williams, my digital alter ego, now an outlaw with her face plastered on some digital wanted poster in the syndicate's HQ? Had they yanked the plug, cutting off our peephole into their shadowy dealings as easily as snipping a wire? But as the adrenaline subsided, and I took a deep, calming breath, reality clicked into place. This wasn't some grand conspiracy or targeted blackout, it was just good old-fashioned server downtime. A reminder that, despite all the magic at our fingertips, we're still at the mercy of tech gremlins and the whims of web hosting. But that website, that travel forum, had been our crystal ball, offering up glimpses of the syndicate's chess moves in our global game of cat and mouse. It was our digital DeLorean, giving us the 88 miles per hour we needed to stay one step ahead in this escapade. But now, with the lights out and nobody home, we were flying blind, cut off from our only line to the enemy's playbook.
As twilight's mantle began to drape itself over the horizon, the whispers of Montreal reached out to us, a siren call that spoke of mysteries yet to be unveiled. We found ourselves compelled to venture forth in search of the third puzzle box, our path now unguided by the insights we had hoped to glean from the Odyssey Seekers website. With a sense of determination fueled by the cryptic riddle that singled out this Canadian metropolis as our arena of discovery, we set our course through the mystical network of the Shadow Gate pathway. Our journey commenced beneath the architectural marvel of London's Tower Bridge. Here, a traverse lay concealed, a guardian of age-old secrets whispered by the River Thames, a gateway that bridged not just landmarks but cities. From this historic sentinel, we ventured forth, reality itself yielding, folding us into its embrace to emerge beneath the watchful gaze of the Brandenburg Gate in Berlin. The irony was not lost on us. The doorbuilder's choice to nestle a shadow gate beneath another, non-magical gate was a stroke of poetic genius, a nod to the interconnectedness of all gateways, magical or not. Our voyage then veered towards more obscure and hidden shadow gates, paths less trodden that whispered of forgotten magic and ancient legacies. Each transition served as evidence of the profound power contained within the very essence of these monumental relics. The journey, a blend of thrill and disorientation, eventually led us to Montreal. There, we emerged on the cobblestone path outside the Notre Dame Basilica, a grand church in the heart of the city. Its Gothic architecture soared towards the heavens, a grandiose testament to the doorbuilder's flair for dramatic and historically rich entry points. However, upon our arrival into the bustling embrace of Montreal's late afternoon, the exhilaration of our entrance was quickly overshadowed by an unsettling discovery. The enchanted spectacles, worn by Runeweaver, ignited with alerts, their sudden activity painting our surroundings with a veneer of danger. As my gaze darted through the crowds of unsuspecting tourists, it locked onto an alarming sight, the unmistakable figures of several Cerberus Syndicate agents mingled within the crowd, their presence casting a cold shadow over the city's warmth. This invasive chill threatened to freeze the very momentum of our quest. Their foreknowledge of our arrival gnawed at my thoughts, a mystery as deep and dark as the shadows we navigated. How had they deciphered our destination with such alarming precision, again like they did in Paris? The riddle's mystical ink was barely dry in the Christmas card, its solution shared in hushed tones within the confines of our sanctuary.
The moment we emerged from the Shadow Gate, the enchanted glasses kicked into high gear, pinging alerts like they were going out of style. Imagine, if you will, these glasses as the ultimate mystical smart tech, only instead of email notifications, I'm getting a heads up on Syndicate goons, each agent wrapped in a crimson glow, tagged and flagged for my viewing displeasure. But this time, stepping onto Canadian soil flipped the script. My field of vision practically exploded in a sea of red alerts. Yet, amidst our dash for cover, a new blip on my radar caught me off guard, a marker unlike any other I'd seen before, circling a lone figure in the crowd with a pulsating aura. This wasn't your run-of-the-mill Syndicate fashion statement, he was decked out in casual wear, but still flagged as a threat. And then, as his face zoomed into focus on the glasses, our eyes locked, and his lips curled into a knowing smile. "What the heck is a scribbler?" I blurted out to RG, squinting at the novel identifier dancing before my eyes. RG hustled me into the sanctum of the Notre Dame Basilica, his expression dropping to one of grave recognition. He explained that a scribbler was inside lingo for a scribera, an enchanter who crafts spells through art. This, he theorized, was likely the Syndicate's ace up the sleeve in pinning us to that Rapirio back in the Big Apple. The chilling realization that this scribbler was in the process of sketching us into a new mystical compass for Montreal, with just a few magical strokes of his pen, sent a shiver down my spine, a threat looming larger than the basilica's shadow. With our hearts sinking like stones in a pond, we knew it was time to cut and run, abandoning our initial plans. The Syndicate's hunters were on the prowl, moving with a chilling precision that spelled trouble. That portal next to the Notre Dame Basilica morphed into our lifeline, its beckoning whispers of safety a stark contrast to the symphony of danger surrounding us. We slipped back into the darkness, the fabric of reality folding around us, snatching us from the jaws of danger that snapped hungrily at our heels.
Safely back within the walls of our watermill refuge, the calm that enveloped us was a poignant counterbalance to the pulse-pounding evasion we had executed on the cobblestone arteries of Montreal. Yet, the specter of the Cerberus Syndicate's near-successful ambush loomed large, casting long shadows of doubt and unease. Their uncanny anticipation of our movements, and the precision of their ambush, unfolded a tapestry of questions that weaved uncertainty into every plan. How had the Syndicate discovered our intentions so accurately? We had only just solved the fresh riddle in the Christmas card, revealing the starting point of the quest for the third puzzle box. How did they know this information? And now, with the spectral gaze of their new Rapirios now firmly fixed upon Montreal, how could we press forward in our search without ensnaring ourselves in their meticulously woven web? These questions, heavy with the gravity of our predicament, hovered over us, a cloud of unseen threats. Yet, within this maelstrom of doubt, our resolve stood unbroken. The pursuit of Santa Claus's last Christmas door, with its buried secrets and promised revelations, was a beacon that guided us through the encroaching darkness. The journey was far from its end, and together, we braced against the storm that awaited, our spirits unyielding, our resolve unbreakable. Until next time, my kindred spirits, keep the flame of belief ever burning.